Now over to Exodus, chapter number 17. Exodus, chapter number 17. And I tell you, there's nothing like hearing the song sung about the Lord and what the Lord has done for us. I can't wait for the choir. Choir will be singing soon. And so I'm excited about when that's going to take place as well. Amen. I think we decided homecoming day, I believe we talked about. Anyway, so y'all get ready. We're going to sing for Jesus. Amen. I mean, y'all say, my voice is all jacked up. Preachers, blow the pipes out, get going. Amen. Amen. So anyhow. But go ahead and go over to Exodus chapter 17. And once you've gotten there, we'll all stand if you're able to. And then we'll read verse number 11 and verse 12. That's Exodus chapter 17, verse 11 and verse number 12. Straight from the pages of God's holy word, the Bible says in verse 11 and verse 12, "And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand," the Bible says, "Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy." And the Bible says, "And they took a stone, and they put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, and the one on one side, and the other on the other side." And the Bible says, "And his hands were stayed until the going down of the sun." I want to talk this morning, this simple little thought: defeating the enemy together as a team.
Amen.
Defeating the enemy together as a team. Let's pray. Father, we ask God for divine help. And I pray, God, first of all, there's anything whatsoever between you and I that would hinder you from using my vessel. I beg you, Father, in the name of your son Jesus, I bet you clean my heart. I bet you clean my mind and my hands and my feet. And I pray, God, you scrub me real good and make me a vessel that's meant for your use. Then I pray, God, for every soul that's gathered here this morning to worship and those who are watching by the internet. I pray, God, you speak to all of our hearts. I pray, God, you give us what we need individually and collectively from you this morning. You know how to dispense into us what we have need of. We might not have no idea, but you know. So we ask, God, on this morning, your Holy Spirit would do just that. For that, Father, we'll thank you. We ask God we leave this morning from worship. We ask God we not leave worrying, but we ask God we leave with wonderful power. Power from the Holy Spirit of God. That seep, hallelujah, that seeping through our pores and helping us every step of the way. And for that, God, will thank you. And I pray, God, that soul this morning that might be distraught. That soul this morning that might be discouraged. That vision that might be clouded by circumstance. The enemy may be throwing in their direction. I pray, God, for their home situation. I pray, God, for their financial situation. I pray, God, for their health situation. Whatever the situation, my soul, whatever the situation might be, I pray, God, for that situation this morning that should help us. Then I pray, God, for that soul that might be here or watching that's not saved, but born again and redeemed. But I pray, God, that this, yes, sir, that this will be the name that receive Jesus as their Lord, Savior, yes, sir, and King. But that, God, will thank you. Lord, that's it for now. From that same thing, I beg you, Father, and may your son Jesus to meet that need as well. For it's in your son that we do pray, not a weak Jesus, but mighty Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. May be seated. Defeating the enemy together. Watch it now. As a team. As a team. Last week, for the first time, I didn't know people played this sport. And I posted it. Then Brett said, we played it all the time. But I played a sport called Gaga Ball. Okay. Now, Gaga Ball is actually supposed to be an individual game. In other words, there's a bunch of people in a circle, and in this case, they had built up some kind of planks or wood behind us that we was all in a circle so that you could get out the circle. And so, therefore, they had this ball there, and the idea was this: what you could do is you can hit the ball with your hand, but you can't hit it with your feet. If it touches your feet, that means you're out of the game. So I played that for the first time, and man, it was fun. It was awesome. Man, I sweat. I burned a lot of calories, so it was really helping me. But I noticed some of the rascals was working together as a team. I'm like, wait a minute. I thought this was an individual thing. Now, how do y'all play?
Individual.
But they was making sure they knocked everybody else out, and only two would be left, or three would be left, would be them. I'm like, man, y'all. So I said, okay, I got you. So when I got in there the next time, I'm like, I'm going to make sure those who working together, I'm going after them, okay? And so I was going after them. I was not successful the first 30 games, but nonetheless, but I did win me two games, so I do have that to my credit, amen. 55-year-old, 54-year-old man out there, I was moving. I was, in I hurt the next day, but nonetheless, I was moving. But listen, there are some sports that are team sports. There are some sports like golf. Well, even golf, you have your caddy. He kind of helps you a little bit, but mainly it's an individual sport. But do you know the body of a Christ is not an individual battle that we face? We are facing a war against our enemy, and we need to be together. And as you look here at this story, I believe it's to give us a good idea of how to work together to defeat the enemy that tries to destroy us on a daily basis. Now, the first thing we want to look at this morning is simply this. First of all, number one, the crisis. The crisis. The Bible says in verse number 8 of Exodus chapter 17, verse 8, then came Amalek and fought with Israel and Rephidim. A referendum. The Bible says Amalek came to do battle, to fight with Israel. Now, in case you may have forgotten, this is the first battle, this is the first fight that Israel is going to have since they left Egypt. Because when they left Egypt, remember, God took care of Pharaoh in the sea, but this is the first battle that they are about to face. Right. This is their first fight, basically, that they're about to have. And the Bible says it was a crisis because here comes the enemy to do battle. They haven't come to have tea. They've not come to have coffee.
Nope.
They've come to fight. We have an enemy called Satan, who is our adversary, the devil. He comes to fight. He's not trying to powwow with you. Now, he might act like he's trying to powwow with you, but his whole goal is to tear your family down, or to tear your home down, to tear your life down. And he does a lot of times, he does a successful job, because many of us, we'll go about this thing like the Lone Ranger. But like you've heard me say many a time before, even Lone Ranger had Tonto, okay? He was not by himself. And brothers and sisters, we need to be united and fight the good fight of faith. And we are here to do this thing together. As a matter of fact, I'll hold your place here and go with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And look what the Bible says in verse number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, right from the page of God's word. Verse, hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 3, verse number 6. The Bible says this. Paul says to the church of Corinth. He says in verse 6 of 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, he says, I have planted. Apollos watered. But guess what, y'all? God gave what?
The increase.
He goes on to say, so then, and this is going to hurt somebody. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Amen. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are how many?
One.
And the Bible says here in this verse, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. So in other words, even though we are one when we are fighting with the enemy, when we are planting and when we are warring, but the Bible says that we all but get individual rewards when we stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible goes on to say in verse number 9, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, and ye are God's what?
Building.
Building. The Bible says that we are laborers together. That word laborers together here means a companion in work. It means a fellow worker. I know, forget, I used to work in Scientific Atlanta and down there in Georgia. And I was working there. We had an assembly line. And so I would test these conduits. And so I was the water tester. And so when they would come down the conveyor belt, I would take them and then I would dip them in the water to make sure they had no leaks. And so if they had no leaks, I would take them and send them over here on the side. But then the guy that was out here, his job was to take them and put them in a box them up, and send them on a pallet. So all this, you got everybody's got everything's got to run. Everything's got to run. But now, what happened would be this. This guy was moving slow. So his stuff started backing up, which means I had nowhere to put the conduits. So what I would do, I'm trying to help. So I run over there, and I help him box stuff up. Now that means stuff is backing up on the line. Then I jump back over here, and I get that stuff through there. I'm just trying to help. Then the boss walks through. Mm-hmm. He sees over here is backing up. He sees me over here. And guess who got let go? I got let go. I'm like, what is this? I'm trying to help it. And then my guy's down on the line. Make sure let that dude do this stuff by himself. Let him go in there. But it was in me to help. It's not in me to just watch somebody, going through something. I want to help. Now, that reminds me of one of the young ladies I was talking to down at the camp. And listen, I know we got girls and boys, okay? And girls need to be with the girls, boys with the boys, and stuff like that. But listen, if somebody hurts themselves, the natural response is to help somebody. Right. Well, this particular young guy was from a particular school, and from this particular school, he had been taught that you know, of course, you don't touch girls and all that kind of stuff. Well, she was walking down the stairs. This wasn't this camp. It was another camp. Same place, but it was a different group of kids. She said she was walking down the stairs, and it rained real bad, and she had slipped and fell in the mud, soaking wet. And there she was, and she was trying to get up. He stood there and watched her. And when she finally was able to get up, she looked at him and she said, "Why do you help me?" And his response, "You're not supposed to touch girls." Have you lost your mind? Listen, she's in distress. She needs some help. I will be encouraging any of our kids to go to that particular school. Listen. We are in this together. We are to help one another. I can't see myself riding by one of you guys, and you got a flat on the side of the road, and I see y'all go, beep, beep. You were like, Pastor. You know, I'm like, I'm sorry, I haven't heard. No, I'm going to stop and try to help you because we're in this thing together. Now, watch what the Bible said. Let's go back. Go back now with me over to Exodus. Now, we see the crisis. There is a crisis. There is a situation. But now notice, in the midst of this crisis, the enemy oftentimes goes after those who may be the weakest. Hold your place here in Exodus and go with me real quickly to Deuteronomy chapter 25 and verse 17. The Lord is talking about this battle that took place, and he's talking about it afterwards. But look what he says after this battle had taken place. Look at Deuteronomy 25. And look at verse number 17. The Bible says this. Remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way, when ye were come forth out of Egypt, how he met thee by the way, and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were what?
Feeble
behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God. So don't you remember that when you fought with Amalek, what they did was they attacked the ones who were the most feeble, the ones who were the most weak, the ones that could get the most. Lions. We also have lions, the king of the jungle, okay? But y'all know how lions work. They go after the ones that's kind of straggling behind, the ones that's kind of weak. Those are the ones that they attack the most. And brothers and sisters, the Bible talks about how oftentimes the enemy will go after that one that might be more feeble, that one that might be more weak, and attack them so he can attack the whole family, for instance. Let's say you got mama going to church, kids go to church, but daddy don't go. Who do you think you're going to attack? He's going to start with daddy.
You're always going up to that church. You don't stay around the house none. You don't cook no food.
You can be cooking food. You can cook filet mignon. And you know what? He will still complain. But you know what happens? He gets attacked. The enemy uses him to attack mama and the children. And all of a sudden, mama says, you know what? Forget it. I ain't even going. Why even go to church? Because every time I know I go to church, and I go to the altar, I pray, man, I get blessed, I get encouraged, but I go back to the house, and all of a sudden, here he is, he's complaining about something. You know, I'm just sick and tired. I'm tired of fighting with my spouse. I'm tired of fighting with my kids. I'm just sick and tired, and I guess, you know, I'm just going to stay home. I ain't going at all. The enemy will do whatever he can to attack us.
Yeah.
And the enemy, oftentimes, does a good job. But that's why it's so important to work together. When you look into the Bible says that Jesus sent them out two by two. Why did he send them out two by two? So in case one got discouraged, then the other one could lift them up. It's the same thing in the ministry. When you have a husband and wife team working together, a lot of times when the husband's down, the wife, she'll encourage him. And a lot of times when the wife is down, the husband, he will encourage her. They'll encourage one another. And they're working together as what? As a team. Listen, brothers and sisters, we have to all realize we got the same Father, and we're on our places, or on our way to the same place, and we ought to be working together for the common cause of winning people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, brothers and sisters, the enemy will do whatever he can to attack, to cause division, and whatever he can to destroy whatever it is that God is trying to do. What are you saying, preacher? We have a real life enemy, and there's going to be a crisis. But now watch this. Watch this. The Bible secondly shows us something. The choosing. Go back to Exodus chapter 17. So we see the crisis. Then we see number two, the choosing. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, watch it now, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. Moses tells Joshua to choose us out men and go out and fight. That word choose means to appoint. It means to select. Do you know what he's saying? I want you to get some guys that's going to fight. Now, I don't know about y'all, but if I'm going to be in a fight, I'm going to get somebody that's going to run. I want somebody that's going to be standing right there with me, shoulder to shoulder, in this thing. You know, I mean, I've had friends growing up when I was a teenager. And man, they come time to fight, they might say, oh, man, I got your back. Yeah, you got my back way back, okay? But you know what? So listen, we're about to have this battle. I need you to choose and select these men so that you can go out and fight against the enemy. And brothers and sisters, sometimes God comes by. And he'll tap us on the shoulder. And he'll choose certain of us to sing the songs of Zion. He'll choose some of us to preach the word of God. He'll choose some of us to teach the word of God. He'll choose some of us for various duties and occupations for the work of God. But whatever God is tapping you to do, you do it not with half your heart, but with all your heart, all your might, all your soul, all your mind. Give it all to Jesus. And he'll blow our minds. Not just sometimes. But every single time. Now watch this now. I'm trying to get to the meat of my message. Watch what the Bible says shows us next. Number three. We see number one, the crisis. We see the choosing. Number three, the courageous battle. Here we go. I was watching John Wayne last night. And man, it was just good. Alright, watch this now. Verse 10. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him. And fought with Amalek. And the Bible says that Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And the Bible says, and it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, the Bible says that Israel prevailed. That Israel had the strength. They were strong. They overcame the enemy. But then the Bible says, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. I meant to bring my, I got a rod at back in the church, my office. I meant to bring it, but he would hold up the rod like he did the Red Sea. And the Bible said they was winning. But then he get tired. And he had to put his hands down. And all of a sudden, they start getting whooped. But you know what? They were courageously in this battle. Their first fight. I don't raise your hand, but some of y'all remember your first fight? It might not have went too well, you know. I'm going to encourage y'all to fight, okay? But I'm just saying, I mean, sometimes the bully got to get knocked out. But nonetheless, though, their first fight. And here you see, they're winning, then they're losing. They're winning, then they're losing. And sometimes, in the body of Christ, we'll find ourselves winning, then we're losing. We're winning, then we're losing. But then we got to find out why. Why am I not winning? Why are we not having continuous victories? See, it's one thing to have a loss here and there, but to have continuous losses, we got to rethink this thing. You know, I mean, just like us at our church, you know, we got the NBA meeting, you know, and some of our guys were very excited that the league got canceled this year because normally I win. I'm a 5-time champion. Bless Bret Hart. He ain't got uno. Listen. But I've been trying to help him. I told him I got a book out. I've been trying to show them how they can win successfully year after year. They won't purchase my book. They won't come in. Lord, forgive me if I'm saying. But nonetheless, though, if we are in life continuing to lose, we've got to ask ourselves the question, why? Why is it I've got a victory here and then 3 defeats right here? And then once we discover the reason why, then it's like this, okay, now I'm going to show us how to correct it. And in this case, here was Moses. Hey, he's a leader, doing the best he can, but he's holding his hands up by himself, and they're winning the battle, but then he gets tired, he gets weak, he lets down his hands. But then the Bible says something happened next. Oh my. Then we see the coming together. The Bible says, verse number 12, but Moses' hands were heavy, but something happened, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and the Bible says, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side, the other on the other side, and the Bible says, my soul, his hands, what? Were steady. They were firm. They were steadfast unto the going down of the sun. The Bible says what they did, come here for a minute, Josh. Come here for a minute. No, that's okay. Yeah, come up here. Hey, just hit it. All right, come up here. Right, sit right there. Come up here. Help me out, Brad. Don't get your big head. Okay? It seems it's too late. Okay? So he got his arms up. They're winning the battle. But then he gets weak. He gets tired. Then all of a sudden, he puts his hands down. But then they find the stone. You shouldn't sit down first. But they find a stone. He sits down on it. Then Aaron and Hur come by. And the, man, is this a lot easier? It's a lot easier to hold your hands up. Yeah, I see you just let go too. All of a sudden, the whole body just dropped. Well, you know what? As long as we're helping him, he holds up his hands and Israel wins the battle. But do you notice something? We're together. It's not uno. It's trash. I said that right. That's three. Nonetheless, it's 3 of us up here, and we are helping him to hold up his hands. And a lot of times, our Christian brothers and sisters, they're countenance downcast, they're defeating their spirit, and what we'll do is we'll look at them. Well, you know what? Josh shouldn't have put himself in that situation. If he had to put himself in that situation, then Josh wouldn't be having his head all down and hanging hands all dragging around. Look at him, poor pathetic thing. He bless his heart. He did. Bless his heart. Well, why don't we come by?
Yeah, come on.
Grab a hold of his hands.
Amen.
Say, come on, look at that. So Josh is going to be all right, man. We're here to help you. We're here to encourage you. So I don't know about all that. I'm glad you asked. Well, go with me to Galatians chapter 6. We'll talk about it. Look at Galatians chapter 6 and look at verse number 2. Galatians chapter 6, and look at verse number 2. Many of you know the scripture, but this is straight from the page of God's word. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 2, the Bible says, bear ye one another's blessings. Oh, I'm sorry. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. That word burdens here means heaviness. It means weight. It means struggle. It means load. The Bible says that we are to bear one another's load, weight, heaviness. And that word bear here means to lift or to carry. In other words, we come by and we lift up one another. We carry one another. We don't beat each other down. But instead, we're lifting each other up. And if we need to be lifted up, come up here. We can pick them up this way. We can put his arms around our necks. And if we need to help him get from one place to the next, we can help him to get there. But you know, oftentimes, we stand away from him. And now he just falls down. And we'll come by him, and we go bless his heart. Poor Josh, he just couldn't do it. Okay. Wait a minute. And if he does fall down flat, what should we do? Come by and just look at him? And let's say he did something wrong himself, and that's why he's in the case he's in. Should we just look at him and say, well, I told you so. I told you so. I told you so. No. Come by. You might help us. He got to do something, amen. We'll pick him up. At least give us some effort, amen. Y'all haven't seen it, amen. But is that not the case, though? Also, thank you, buddy. Also, if we're going to help somebody, you know what? That means also they got to make an effort, too.
Amen.
Okay? They got to do something, too. And the Bible shows us, though. When we go back over here to Exodus, the Bible shows us they came by and they got right there next to Aaron and Hur. Aaron and Hur came and got next to Moses. They lifted up his hand. Now watch this now. Go back to verse 12. The Bible says, but Moses' hands were heavy. They took a stone and put it under him. He sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands. That word stayed up means to support, to grasp, to hold up, figuratively to help. Let me ask you the question. When's the last time we helped somebody that was hurt? When's the last time we helped somebody that was downcast? When's the last time we made an effort to lift somebody's spirit? Not to tear somebody down, that's easy. But to actually lift somebody's spirit. When we was down there at the youth camp down in West Virginia, I'm going to tell you what, when you hear the testimonies of these young people who don't want to even go back, some of them not even want to go back home. Well, that's because their parents probably serving Jesus. No, it's because their parents aren't serving Jesus. It's because they don't have that influence there. Some of them have been abused physically. And some of them have been abused in other ways. And they're not looking forward to going back to the house. They're struggling to how to forgive. How can I forgive this person that brought me into this world, but was a part of the problems that I have? That's a part of the worries that I have. Listen, brothers and sisters, I don't know about you, but I want to do my best to lift up that person's spirits. I want to do my best to help them by giving them not only the Lord Jesus Christ, but giving them some of the sword of the Spirit, some of the Word of God, so they can fight back against the enemy that's attacking them on a daily basis. I don't know about you, but I am in the Helps Ministry. I don't know about you, but I don't just want the hallelujahs, but I want to shout and praise God because somebody is getting the victory. Yes. Woo! Glory! Yes. Hallelujah. What are you saying, preacher? We have a real live enemy. And he wants to destroy it. Brett put up a picture from, I think it was 4 years ago, of all our teenagers. And all the teenagers, the pictures you had up there, I believe half of them, I know it was about eight of them, at least it was, they were there helping out in Vacation Bible School in some form of fashion this past week. But see, they're not teenagers anymore. Now they're in their early 20s. Tell me about you. That makes me want to shout hallelujah. But hold on. Before I can shout hallelujah, I got to look at the other eight. That may not be involved in the work of God anymore. What about those eight? Well, they fell through cracks. Oh, okay. What about when you fell through the cracks?
Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
Did you not want somebody to come by to give you a call, give you a text, give you an inbox, or do something to lift you up and to help you to get back on track? Man, I wish I had somebody like that in my life when I was growing up. I didn't have anybody like that. But I didn't have Jesus. But I think it would have been, might have been a whole lot quicker if I had somebody to come by and at least try to encourage me. I didn't have a roommate when I was down in Georgia. And, when I stayed there half the time, I didn't stay there. But every once in a while, I'd go by there and I'd just go. He had no idea. I just wanted to get around him and hear him talk about what was going on in his life. And by this time, he had started going back to church. He was involved with the youth. They were taking trips to different places. He had started writing a book. But I just come by and say, hey, Kevin, what's going on, man? And, you know, his name was Kevin Dodge. I said, what's going on, bro? He started telling me. He had no idea. But I was, that was something positive. And this part got back in church. That was something positive that I was listening to. I wanted to hear that. But now, I wasn't looking for somebody to give me a downcast spirit. I wasn't looking for somebody to get me down in the mully grubs. Good night. I mean, we all heard the saying that misery enjoys company. You know, I don't want that company. Yeah. If I do come around you and you are miserable and you are in a mess, I'm going to try my best to be a blessing to you. But if I can't help you, then I'm just going to have to pray for you because I don't want to stay there. And all of a sudden, come here, Josh. I mean, Josh, he's telling me all this stuff. And from I'm like, it's going to be okay, man. And then he just all negative. You just negative. What? It's going to be okay, man. It's not. It's going to be okay. He started crying. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Then he already. And then, you know, if he keep on my life, it's already going to be okay. It ain't going to be okay. You know what, man? We all messed up. Amen. Well, listen. Let's try our best to encourage and help somebody that's going through a dark place. Because then when you see them, when I think about Josh, when Josh and me first started coming 12, 13 years old, or when they first started coming to church, you know, and I see Josh now, he's going to college and preaching the word of God. And man, he just plays all kinds of instruments and stuff, picks up stuff just like that. I'm like, damn, that's awesome. That's just a blessing. But when I think about some of these other young folks that are going to college and about to, people about to get married. Sarah about to get married, my soul. Jessica, but we got them, they're going to get married. We got other folks over here about to get married. You know what I think about when I think about that? I mean, praise God. Praise God. They're about to start this journey. But here's the key to starting that journey. Having Christ in the very center. Having Christ in the very middle. But you know what? You and I can help that process by coming by and holding up that person's hand. By being like Aaron and being like her and coming alongside and saying, we can do this. Now watch this now. We're almost done. Hold on. Look what the Bible says here. So we see the crisis. We see the choosing, the courageous battle, the coming together. And then we see the crushing of the enemy. The Bible says in verse number 13, and Joshua discomfited. That means to overthrow. That means to weaken Amalek and his people with the edge of a sword. The Bible says right here that Joshua won the battle. They crushed the enemy. Why? Because some guys came together to hold up somebody else. And they won the victory. I wonder how many of us need to crush some things this morning. I wonder how many of us need to crush anger or to crush gossip or to crush bitterness or to crush unforgiveness or to crush the many adversities that we face in our life. We need to defeat these things that keep on nagging at us and nagging at us and nagging on that, on us. Amen. I don't know about you. I like victory. Friday, last night of the youth camp. We had the gong show. And we was like a real type, real deal, boing and all that. We couldn't show videos because we need people getting all upset about stuff. But nonetheless, I mean, we had a wonderful time. And then right at the end, Jimmy Carter, he was in 23, I think. Every year, he always wants to arm wrestle me. And I've beaten him every year. you know, submission. He wants to arm wrestle in front of everybody. Yeah. They bring out the whole table out there. You know, we get out there. And I'm like, man, you got to remember, I'm old. He's 23. I am 54. We get up there. Spotlights all on us and stuff. We get up there. Come on, please. We get up there. And man, we're on the table. This boy here. We're on the table. And man, then he does something with his wrist. I called him out on that afterwards. But he did something with his wrist and he turned my wrist this way. So now I'm at a disadvantage. And he goes down and I'm like this. Man, and the whole crowd going, come on, preacher. And I'm like, I'm all down here. I'm inches up on the table. And I make a little comeback. And then boom. You won. I'll take my loss. He went back up to the cafeteria. He's coming back. And he said, man, why you let me win? Right? I said, man, I didn't let you win. I said, you know what you did, though? You know, you didn't have a hair straight. You did a little twist thing on me. I said, you know what happened, you know? And so then he arm wrestled some more folks and whatnot. Then I arm wrestled some more folks. I said, come on. So this time we get up there. He tried to twist that. I said, keep that thing in the middle. Then we started going, and I mean, we were like that. And all of a sudden, I started going this way, and he was holding up. I was going like this. Now, I said, all right, I'm going to count 1-1. Amen, praise God. But nonetheless, he waited for me next winter, this winter coming up. But you know what? In the midst of that first one, I was trying to get the referee to see what was happening. I said, come on, he thought I wanted him to help me. I wasn't trying to help me. I didn't want him to keep things honest. You know, just keep things fair. That's also why I wanted things to be right. You know what? Because things weren't right. I'm going to swear. Because things weren't right, I lost. And sometimes because things aren't right, because it's not all coming together like it's supposed to be, then we lose. And brothers and sisters, we have a God that wants us to work together to defeat the enemy. Amen. He wants us to be a body of believers. A body of believers that are marching for the Lord Jesus Christ. A body of believers that are shaking things up with Jesus in our homes and on our jobs and our communities, but going forward for Jesus. What he doesn't want is us. Let me see your Bible for a second. Get in our Bible. Get your Bible out, Greg. We on social media. You got his Bible? I got mine. Yeah! Let me show you what 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 17 says. Boom! You come back. What you got? Oh, yeah? Luke 10:1. I got one. Revelations, baby. Revelations chapter 12. Bam! And here we are. We just going in it with the Bible. We got the same word, and we're attacking each other, and the devil's doing this.
Right. Yep.
Good job, guys. You're doing wonderful. Wonderful. But then our father, it's like, man, look at my kids. Look at my kids. No parent enjoys their children fighting one another. I got 2 granddaughters back in the back. Y'all been hearing them? They're back in the back. And sometimes, Allie Ray, she would, listen, they sweet. But Allie Ray, man, she'll grab a hold of Albert's hair and she'll just be pulling it. I'm like, Allie Ray, it's like she's like, I don't like her. She's bigger than me and she get more privileges. Now, I know families, you know. You know what that reminds me of, don't you, Jay? That mommy and Jane, her sister. That's Danielle's mama. They told me, remember that time she pushed you down the stairs? Did she push you down the stairs one time? Oh, you pushed her? Shame! Oh my goodness! You tell your mama I'm sorry. It was Jane. Oh my goodness. We didn't want to deal with Billy. Listen. But you know what? I'm sure Jack and Jenny weren't going, oh my, look at this. My girls are fighting again. This is great. This is so awesome. I'm sure. Now, I don't know about Billy. Billy girl started fighting. He'd be like, come on, girl. You can do better than that. Come on. But you know what? Our Father, that doesn't please him. What he wants us to do is be united. And some of y'all know how it is. You go to school and stuff, and your mom and dad tell you, listen, if your brother or sister get into a fight, you better help them. You're like, I want to. You better help them. If I find you ain't help them, ooh, man, you're going to have a fight and you ain't going to win. What are you saying? We have a God in heaven that wants us as a body of believers to be united, to be together, and to be a force for the Lord Jesus Christ. That means holding up each other. That means going forward for the Lord Jesus Christ. When somebody falls and they get down, you pick that person up. I just saw something. This guy was running from Kenya. And he got there right at the finish line, but didn't understand the signs. Some of y'all might saw this. Didn't understand the signs because of the language barrier. And so this guy, somebody there, okay, you ain't as dark from Kenya, but you'll work. Okay, he's from Kenya. And then all of a sudden, this other guy's behind him. This other guy could have ran across the finish line. But he started yelling at the guy from Kenya to keep going. The race was on. Keep going. And he was just standing there just looking like this. And he got right behind him and he helped them to cross the finish line. Wow. But he could have been first. Thank you. He could have been first. The news could have asked him, why did you do that? Why did you do that? He said something about them all coming together or something like that. No, but why would you do that? He said, listen, he had already won. They said, he says, if I had, he said, if I had crossed that line, not helping him, he said, this guy, he said, what would my mama have said? What would my mama say? I was like, wow, what would my mother say? Now, for some folks, God won. Wait a minute. He knew that his mom would be disappointed in him and the way that he won. Because here was somebody else that should have crossed the finish line first. And he didn't help that person. And brothers and sisters, we have a Father in heaven that doesn't want us to push our brother and sister down. Amen. So we can cross the finish line. Amen. First. But instead, he wants us to work together. And when Israel worked together, when Hur and Aaron came together and helped lift up the arms of Moses, they won the battle. And as brothers and sisters in Christ, every child of the King that you meet in this life, we should be trying our best to lift them up and to help them to cross the finish line together. I got two questions and we're done. Go with me. I'm back over to Exodus chapter number 17, verse 13. The Bible says, and Joshua discomfited, overthrew to weaken Amalek, and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And the Bible says that Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, or Nissi. And for he said, because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Oh, y'all, by the way, Amalek is actually a distant cousin of Israel. Amen. From the lineage of Esau. Wow. Think about that for a second. But in this scripture, he says, Write these things down as a memorial. Remember. Remember the importance of how you won the victory. Remember the importance of working together to defeat the enemy. And as the Bible tells us, with God, all things are possible. Here's my two questions. My first question is this. What crisis are we facing today? What crisis are we facing today? The second question is this. Are we holding up each other? Are we holding up each other? And the last is a simple little statement. Let's come together this morning and ask God, watch it now, to give us the victory together. Whatever that need might be, let's talk to the Master. Father, thank you for your many wonderful blessings. Thank you, Lord, for the precious word of God. I thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. And Father, perhaps there's some folks that need some victory over some things they've been battling with, some things that's trying to destroy them, to discourage them, to defeat them. But I pray, God, this morning we bring that before your throne, the throne of grace, and get some directions from you, some guidance from you, in order to know what to do. Or perhaps, God, there's somebody that keeps coming to our mind. Yeah. Somebody keeps coming to our mind that we really need to start helping. Not criticizing, but helping them. Encouraging them. Trying our best to motivate them as your Spirit guides us. Maybe we need to come and talk to you about that situation. Maybe we need to come and intercede for somebody this morning in prayer. I pray, God, we come. Or perhaps, God, we come for some other reason. It has nothing to do with this message. Nothing. Not one thing. But there's some other needs we have this morning. I pray, God, we bring them to you today. And then, of course, there's somebody here that's not sure of their salvation. I pray, God, to come and let me know. And God, we will show them from the Word of God how to trust Jesus. Help us. We've heard the songs. We've heard the sermon. Now it's time to respond. Of course, in your Son, then we do pray. Jesus,